Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show.
He came from somewhere back in how long ago. The sound of a fool don't see, trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created.
And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about how a study from the Clinical Municipal Hospital in Romania says that antioxidant treatment in acute ischemic stroke may delay the onset of Alzheimer's dementia. Well, now think about all the people having strokes. You're talking about one every minute. And think of the people who are then going through a torturous recovery, frequently not ever fully recovered. Well, this could help. This is only one of many articles we're going to be presenting to you, always from peer-reviewed literature, always from respected institutions, yet almost never covered in the mainstream media. Also today, I haven't had a chance because of the coronavirus, and we've done a total of 4 hours of broadcasting. We wanted to show that both the Progressive Radio Network and our sister stations around the world, and especially WBAI, where I've been for 44 years, are taking the lead in providing honest, accurate, unbiased information that can help us better understand the crisis we're in and the most reasonable and scientifically responsible ways of preventing the infection. So today I'm going to get away from that, and I'm going over to share 4 different video audio clips. We're going to talk, or I should say not we, but we will have a discussion at a TED Talk from Charmaine Gooch. And then we're following that with another one about how corrupt our society is. And Anthea Lawson. So we have 2 people who both have spent their careers uncovering corruption. And I won't go into it in between. I'll just let you know now. What does it say about a society and its so-called constitutional protectors that when someone actually exposes real crimes against humanity and challenges to our, let's say, our system of justice, that person uncovering the crimes is the one prosecuted? And first, before they can be prosecuted, they have to be vilified, demonized. So there is the mainstream media, the very media that used, for example, Julian Assange's material. And not once in 10,000 releases was Julian Assange ever shown that his material was inaccurate. But the very people who are committing the crimes against humanity at the FBI and the Department of Justice and other places, those people were protected. So it's no longer a secret that this is going on. It's been going on for decades. The question I'm raising is, why do we allow it? Why don't we say we can't have this? So I'm going to go a little in-depth on both of these discussions. Then Cheryl Atkinson, extremely talented and, in my opinion, courageous journalist. She was at CBS, multi-Emmy award-winning investigative journalist for 22 years. And she left when they were censoring her material. And then they went on attacking her. Well, it turns out President Barack Obama illegally surveyed her. And she's going to talk about that. Why is it that like Ronald Reagan, who had charisma and charm and humor, but engaged in so many illegal activities, supplying guns to the Contras in return. A whole nation was plagued, especially Southeast Los Angeles, with cocaine. The CIA was fully in control of that. And evidence presented by my friend Gary Webb proved that. Yet the New York Times, Los Angeles Times attacked Webb. This is just this fetid corruption. And yet Reagan, even with that Iran-Contra scandal, even with the arms, even with the October surprise, all these things that were done, Reagan left office like a hero. Obama, like a hero. But look what they actually did. Why is it that we're in such cognitive disassociation from truth that we cannot even discuss in a civil and open forum the crimes against humanity, our Bill of Rights, our constitutional guarantees, by people because of their charm? So their charm offensive and the deep state protecting them and guiding them. They did it with Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, and we accept that. Why? We begin with the latest on health and healing. Currently, according to the Clinical Municipal Hospital in Romania, we are facing a dementia pandemic. Now, I've mentioned this over the last 10 years because I've been seeing this in younger and younger people, some in their 40s, and it goes back to their lifestyle. When I was growing up, and I'm sure when many of you were growing up, you want to go get a popsicle, you get a popsicle. You want to get an ice cream cone, you got an ice cream cone. You know, it was just the beginning of the pizza era. So you would, you know, on the weekends, maybe you'd have a pizza, but during the week, you ate at home with your family, and you ate everything on your plate. And we didn't have an epidemic of obesity. We had no adult diabetes in children. We had no ADHD and ADD and autism, none. We just had children that when they acted out, they were reprimanded. We were taught manners. We were taught discipline. We were taught character. We had mentors. And I believe that we were fortunate enough to have the last great generation. And that was our parents who were born before, during the Great Depression. So we had none of the struggles and sacrifices to go through that they did. And they sacrificed after World War II in order to see that we, the baby boomers, didn't have to suffer. Unfortunately, in the process of not suffering, we also didn't learn the lessons that our parents, who went through 16 years, if you include from the beginning of the Great Depression to the end of the Second World War, they were on, you know, they were on coupons and rations. Mom talked about how she was one of those Rosie the Riveters, and how you had to be very careful where you planned a road trip. Even when gasoline was 15 cents a gallon, you had a limit. When you'd go to the store, you had a limit of what you could buy. So hence the gardening started. It didn't happen after World War II. It happened actually, the Victory Gardens were there. Everybody was planting, according to all my aunts and uncles. All my uncles and three of my aunts were in World War II, but as was my father, but everyone else had stayed home. They grew food for themselves, and they exchanged food. It was very common. So at least they did their best to see that some stability, nutritional stability, was maintained. Now, mind you, they were victims of propaganda also, smoking in particular, and drinking, social drinking, and eating a 2-ounce piece of meat. I once asked Mom, who would go to the local butcher, and she'd get, and I would go with her as a kid, and she'd say, "Now remember, I want 2 inches," and so he'd say, "Yep, you got your 2-inch steak." That was for my father. I didn't eat that. She'd make me, you know, beans and not very tasty. Wow. I never knew what I was eating sometimes because everything had been overcooked. It all was kind of mush to me. In any case, and I asked Mom why, and she said, "Well, we're just working class people, you know, and that's probably what we'll ever be. But we pride ourselves in having an organized home. We got a roof over our head, food on the table. You're all in school. We don't have debt." And we discussed these things. But she said, "When you can buy a 2-inch steak," and I guess it was for about a dollar, "then you know that you're in that middle class." Wow. I mean, how often do we think of something that simple? Like right now, for example, when we hear of celebrities, basketball players or actors, whoever it might be, Do you see that they have any trouble getting the test to determine do they have the common flu that has the same symptoms as the corona flu or the coronavirus? No. No, no famous person, no rich person, no powerful person has any problem. When you're hunkering down in your house or your apartment and you're thinking, my goodness, I'm not used to this, what am I going to do? And by the way, last evening, for those who are doing our home-based anti-aging support group, we did an hour and a half discussion, and we're supplying them with all kinds of videos, over 100 different videos on different subjects, exercise, meditation, stress management, diet, juicing, self-empowerment issues. Not just for me. I'm talking about some really good people, Bruce Lipton, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, etc. A whole lot of people. And so therefore, their days can be better structured. As I said last night, how many of you can say that you fill your day with proactively empowering time? Or how much of your time is spent in a reductionist, passive, spectator, voyeuristic manner? On the internet, television, meaningless phone calls. And then you wonder, where'd the day go and what'd I get done and how about nothing? And especially for older people. I'm not going to do it today, but I'm in the lectures I'm going to be doing. And for everyone, I've never done this before, but I'm going to do each day like a TED Talk. And it will both entail questions from the participants from the night before. They call in at night or email at night, and they send their questions. And then the next day in the afternoon when I do my lecture, which is filmed in a custom-built studio that we have, so it's really nice looking, I'll be able to answer their questions. That's separate. That goes to them and is posted on a private website. But then my lecture will be for everyone. But they're not my normal 2 to 3 hour lectures. These will be short and to the point. And this way, at least each day, you know that if you're at home, you can bring some new insights and awareness and knowledge into your life so that day is meaningful. But getting back to the point I was making, too often people assume that those people who are wealthy or celebrities or famous should automatically be deferred to. So if they have symptoms, they always get the test. They always get into the hospital. They get whatever medical treatment is considered the best at that moment. But what about all the other people where there are no hospital beds? There's no respirators. There's no medication that is given because there's no protocols right now. I'm writing an article about what is the best we could do to prevent the disease, and also what can we do in the establishment, mainstream medicine. We've looked at all the therapies, and we've deemed a few based upon peer review studies the best and the least toxic, if you have it, including a drug for malaria that seems to have a very high efficacy rate of killing the coronavirus. But that is going to come in about on upcoming Monday. And then it'll be published, and you can share it. So both deals with prevention and treatment. But when was the last time you heard anybody talk about prevention, except wash your hands and stay away from public places? That's about a 2 on a scale of 100 of things you should do, things they don't think about. For example, just yesterday, I'm watching people at the DMV, you know, pick up the pen, and every single person was using the same pen, and no pen was clean. No one cleaned the counter where you were getting your, you know, license plate or driver's license. And, yeah, they had fewer people inside because they were having each person come in, you know, a couple at a time. But still, whoever been in there earlier, their bacteria and viruses, whether pathogenic or not, are in the air for the next 3 to 4 hours. That means that everyone went in and sat down, now it's on your clothes. Now you go home or back to work, and now you've just smudged that on your couch, your chair, your office chair, and that can live there for 3 to 6 days. You're going to be touching all this stuff, then touching your face. That's how we get infected. And yet not a word. It's as if we can't complicate the American mind because it's so fragile. It is so hypersensitive to input It has been so guarded in the realities it allows itself that we don't want to stress it, as if we're all suddenly adhering to the pathologically dysfunctional snowflake phenomena by professional parents. And by the way, I'm doing a whole lecture next week that you're going to see if you want on the pathology of the professional class in America. But it's been going to be done in a whole new way. And I'm going to take apart each and every area of professionalism and what goes wrong that we never discuss. No discussions at all. We only end up seeing a train wreck at the end when a 16-year-old who's a functional illiterate gets up and starts screaming in the face of a professor about, your words make me feel threatened, my very life threatened. Yeah. Well, then you shouldn't be in any college. You should be at Bellevue, maybe. Oh, I forgot. They're already getting personal therapy. So how do we get here? Well, it's this whole idea of professional entitlements. We never talk about this. We talk about entitlements for those who are conditioned to believe as children that they're perfect, and therefore there's no consequences to bullying, bad behavior, rudeness, crudeness, lack of interest in anything that's civil or social, lack of interest in the commons, lack of interest in the poor, the homeless, lack of interest in those kids going to school hungry while you're gorging on junk food. So I'm going to have a conversation on entitlement of success. Brand new lecture. Anyhow, all these are brand new lectures. I've never given any of them, and I have 50 of them lined up. So that's neither here nor there. But anyhow, I'll get back to the point. So we have a system in place where we have made it normal for anyone who is successful or known in any field to suddenly go to the head of the line. If there's a bread line, they go ahead. If there's 100 people ahead of them, walk in front of them. We've allowed our governments to do this to us. We've allowed politicians to do this to us. They don't care about the Constitution. Nobody cares about the Constitution in power today because they're all abusing it because they can. Because they know that we, the people, are going to be hunkered down and worried about the virus rather than the abuse of power or how the hundreds of billions of dollars they're going to print, even trillions of dollars they're going to print and give away. The vast majority of that's going to go into the hands of those who are in the circle of the known, even if they do nothing that helps anyone else. Anyhow, these are all topics. So when I'm looking at dementia, I'm seeing it in young people because of bad choices. I'm seeing it propagated by the media. So you wouldn't eat a pizza, you wouldn't eat something unless you knew that it was acceptable because it's on CBS, it's on NBC. Surely Rachel Maddow would have said something if the drugs for conditions that you shouldn't be using a drug, the side effect of the drug is death, and the problem you're trying to address is a runny nose or a little digestive problem. I'd rather deal with natural non-toxic ways of dealing with digestive problems than to die of a treatment, but I don't hear anybody. I don't hear Rachel, you know, lining up all of her forces outside and protesting. Maybe she did, and I missed it. But this is again a part of that privileged class. Deal with whatever you want because that becomes true because you say it. The logic is irrefutable and perfect. If I'm a person of power and if I'm respected by certain members of community, in this case those who are corporate so-called liberals, having nothing in the world to do with real liberals like myself and others were for most of our lives until we saw even that part of the political spectrum had been corrupted by crude and vulgar and pathologically dysfunctional lies, and we became progressive, where we don't look at a body politic, we look at the truth in an idea. But their logic is perfect. Only trust a person that has been shown that they are trusted enough to have a radio or television show or article in the New York Times, because that is where your absolute truth comes from, even if it's all lies. So we've got to break this habit. And I'm only using these little sidebar comments to get to the major point that I was making, and that is, if we're going to be healthy, we have to be healthy with our attitude, our values. So when our parents made mistakes, they were not making mistakes to hurt us. They were making commission mistakes. They were conflating be a responsible parent have your dinner together, talk over the issues, good or bad, you know, be together, because being together as a family means you're also more likely to be together as a community. Be together through your faith, or at least respect for those who have faith, because that frequently is what binds those people to a sense of purpose in life. Do not judge them, because you're not in their shoes. You do not know their mindset. You do not know what they've gone through. You don't know their crisis. You don't know their pain. You don't know their suffering. So don't be glib and smart-alecky, as there's a whole contingent of people today willing to attack other people because their views seem primitive or superstitious. They indeed may be. But approach that issue with empathy towards those who you want to better understand, not for you to recondition them, not for you to be the new mastermind, not for you to be the new truth reality propagator, but rather for you to be a person who wants to understand, what do your beliefs mean to you? How do they help you? How do they hinder you? What if a reality existed beyond your beliefs? Are you willing to examine it? Or do you reject everything that is not a part of this view? Then you go from true believers to orthodox believers to ultra-orthodox believers to ultra-ultra-orthodox believers. Before you condemn them, at least try to understand them. And we're not even at that point yet in our society. So when our mothers were allowing us to have a junk food occasionally, we were given no allowance on keeping our rooms clean or mowing a neighbor's lawn who couldn't do it for themselves and not waiting around to get a dime or a quarter. You did it because it was the right thing to do. Or to tell the truth, even if it means embarrassment, even if you have to go through some form of self-humiliation by saying, yeah, I did that or I did that. Because those are things that allow us to come closer to that point where we're at least acknowledging there's a consequence to every action. Words have power, far more power than what we even pretend. So you can use a word to heal and you can use a word to damage. Never use your words like they're weapons, because then you get used to how quick and glib you can be. Think well about everything you do, your choices. If you do, then you understand how well-intentioned parents gave us a lot of value. A lot. And they were themselves victims of conditioning. And they in turn passed on, unfortunately, inaccurate information that caused a lot of people to smoke or drink, or then made it easier to transition from home-cooked meals, growing food in your own backyard, the Victory Gardens, to everything is a convenient, oh, it's working late, so order in pizza, or in, you know, Chinese food, or whatever. Till that became norm. To eating what your body needed, because there were home economics classes that tried to, you know, give us some measure, even though they were inaccurate, they were propagandized by the dairy and sugar and other industries, but at least there was an effort. There was an honest effort to keep us healthy. And indeed, we were reasonably healthy considering how much misinformation was applied across the board. But now the day comes when there is no measure for health. One of my skin doctors that I see me annually is really physically fit. Yet he had a massive heart attack riding a bike. Fortunately, the guy riding the bike with him that morning was an emergency physician and saved his life. So we had a discussion. And he said, I was dead for about 5 minutes. Heart stopped. He said, I saw nothing. I was aware of nothing. There was no golden path. It was just nothing. I woke up in a hospital. I said, okay, what lesson did you learn? Well, I better take that blood thinner. Why? Why not look at how to repair the arteries, repair the heart, and keep your blood thin naturally with vitamin C and vitamin E that also helps it? Oh, no. So even someone who literally was dead, a highly educated board-certified physician who rode bikes for his fitness, only had one piece of the puzzle. So our trouble today is we're so fragmented in learning, and everything is propaganda. Everybody wants to give us something that they can that is proprietary, they can profit from. But in the process, we think truth is that one piece or two pieces or five pieces. What if there are 1,000 pieces? What allows us to bring more pieces of a truth into our life to see clearer when the picture starts to fill out? I'm sharing this with you just as the larger context, not just a specific point. Take some antioxidants and help treat a stroke. Why not understand what creates the stroke and the damage to your arteries to begin with before the stroke and the clogging of your arteries before the damage to the arteries? We just don't wake up one day with atherosclerosis at arteriosclerosis and congestive heart failure and high blood pressure. That takes time to create it. So what if you on Times Square where they had the big, you know, the big video screens, what if when you went up to Times Square, you could stand there on sensors and the sensors would immediately tell you and show you in the world, it would be streamed live into everybody's computer in that moment, real time, show you what's going on in your body. You know the hamburger you just ate? Because we got the beef. Mm-hmm. Do you have the brains behind the beef, or is it just another big paycheck? And we know the answer to that, and that's not even rhetorical. So suddenly you see what happens to the beef. You see the bacteria in the beef. You see the arachidonic acid. You see your arteries start to become damaged. You see your colon start to go into slow motion, no peristalsis. You start to see inflammation in the cells of the intestine. You start to see 6 hours of that meat being in the stomach because it's so loaded with fat, and fat slows down digestion. The gallbladder has to be releasing bile into the duct, and so to break down the fat, and then there's a clock saying, you just took 3 hours off your lifespan based upon the pro-inflammatory cytokines and free radicals you created from just the meat. Now let's go into the bun and the acrylamides and then the heterocyclic amines in the meat. Now, that overall in your body is not just inflammation in your colon, increasing your chance of colorectal cancer, but also in your prostate, also in your breast, also in your uterine. So you now have X percentage increase in the likelihood if you continue eating this way. And if you eat another 271 burgers, you will have a 50-50 chance of developing cancers or heart attack or stroke in the next 4 years. Well, suddenly, then the final picture comes up. This is your actual biological age based upon what you ate and drank today. Now, here's a separate thing. You can't get off the sensors yet. Because you went to a job you don't like and you were working around electromagnetic pulses from your computers and cell phones, this is the excessive DNA damage. 10,000 gene alterations per cell in your body, but those in your brain even more so. So here is how much time you've taken off the life of your DNA. Over the last week, you've taken 2.1 days. But over the last 10 years, you've taken 7.3 years. So suddenly now, here is a 40-year-old woman or man, and they're actually 74 biologically. So you're told immediately your biological age and the diseases you're likely to have, the percentage of those diseases if you continue what you're doing. Would that change anyone? Or would it just be another form of distractible, disposable, obsolescent entertainment? A game? Or would it suddenly bring us to a screeching halt and say, I didn't know this. I was never taught this in school. No. I was taught to be offended by certain words. I was taught that if George Carlin, Don Rinkles, Jonathan Winters, Robin Williams, Dick Gregory, Mort Saul, Lenny Bruce, Sophie Tucker, if any of these people ever are invited to my school, we should burn down the school. We should show how violated we are. That's what I've been taught. Well, then who's challenging the curriculum? And what happens when you do? So you see, we have a problem, Houston, and no one is wanting to face it nor fix it. It has been fully adapted into the genome of our consciousness. We have normalized personal, philosophical, political, ideological differences that we don't have to change. Everything we say is right, and we're not open to anyone else's ideas. So you see, aside from the Clinical Municipal Hospital of Romania's ideas about take your antioxidants and you won't have as much dementia after a stroke, we're not talking about how to prevent the stroke. We're not talking about hyperbaric oxygen therapy that could reverse the symptoms of a stroke very quickly. We're not talking about the antioxidants take to so that your blood stays naturally thin. So you see, what we're given today, we're given bits and pieces of information as if somehow they don't have to have a context, they don't have to have a progenitor, they don't have a larger picture of how to use stuff. As a result, we have a phenomenal amount of people in America taking supplements where the rest of their life is just not working for them. So you can take all... It was interesting because at the last retreat, I believe someone was there with the intent of trying to get Gary's protocols, and then we'll just apply them in a clinic someplace and make a lot of money. Okay, good. Try that out. See if it works. It will not work. Because if any of you have ever been to any of my health support groups, of which I've had over 400, clinical studies, of which I've had 44, counseling, which I've had close to 70,000, or had any intent to listen to this radio show, you know that beyond a protocol, there is the energy of intent. And that's just too deep for these kind of intellectual thieves. They don't have a brain of their own. They don't have an intellect of their own. But boy, are they as... They're like mini sharks looking for a nosebleed. They're opportunists. They'll exploit anything they can. Good luck trying to make anything work when you haven't originated it. If you don't own it, if you didn't create it, then it's incomplete. So I hope that gives you, I've just taken 36 minutes just to explain one concept, but I think it's time that we started looking deeper than, Gary, how much vitamin C do I have to take if I have constipation between 2 and 3 in the morning? Well, if you got to ask that question, you're asking the wrong question. Finally, from Freie University in Germany, spinach can enhance athletic performance. Well, it's understandable because we want to have more energy when we work out and just normal life. So the spinach is one of many vegetables. I could include kale and broccoli, collard greens and sprouts, microgreens. They all have plant steroids. And those plant steroids protect you against cancer, where the animal steroids, where the estrogen precursors, will cause it. So if you look at spinach as one example, you're looking at what is called a phyto, P-H-Y-T-O, steroid, S-T-E-R-O-I-D. And in all the plants, that's why you should have more vegetables, phytosteroids serve as structural components of cell membranes. And it's actually it's a deterrent to insects. But it's really good, the plant steroids, enhanced vegetables, to help our body turn off inflammation, help it heal, help with rheumatoid arthritis and allergic asthma, lung diseases. That's what they're good. That's why the more vegetables, the healthier you are. This was published by the Archives of Toxicology. Also, from Rajeshi Shahu College of Pharmacy in India, an article says adding turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, to green tea enhances its health benefits. Now, we know, according to this study, that numerous studies, we're talking numerous on the beneficial properties of green tea, credit with possessing a variety of antioxidant compounds. Among these is what is called EGCG, the EPA gallicatechin 3-gallate. Excuse me. Too much lecturing last night. And that little noise in the background is my little puppy chewing on the ears of my 18-year-old dog, Sprout. And Sprout's happy with it, and he's the one growling, but he doesn't bite her because he loves her. And she's looking at him every day like, oh, this is my big brother, and I can go bite him anywhere. And he, you know, he's just a fun rag dog. These puppies are just adorable. In any case, this was published in the British Medical Journal of Complementary and Alternative Medicine. So simply stated, take your turmeric and your green tea together. How about that? And you can also lower high blood pressure, lower high cholesterol. That's terrific. Something this easy, non-toxic, and inexpensive. And by the way, vitamin D chances, it enhances your being able to walk after hip fracture. Rutgers University, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Most Americans are deficient in vitamin D. In fact, most Americans are deficient in the very nutrients their immune system requires in order to protect you against any number of viruses and bacteria. So we got to start taking full-spectrum nutrients. That's important. And inflammation in the brain is linked to several forms of dementia, according to the University of Cambridge in Great Britain. Now, you've heard me mention it. If you have an inflammation in your toe, your ankle, your wrist, anywhere in your body, your blood picks up those cytokines and tumor necrosis factor alphas and these other inflammatory markers, and they sweep them through the body every 6 or so minutes, including the brain. These will go right through the brain-blood barrier. So you want to turn off inflammation. Well, you do that by starting in the morning with a glass of, it doesn't have to be a big glass, 6 ounces of green apple with lemon. That's the first thing you do before you go out and exercise. And then you start taking the nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin E, that will turn off inflammation throughout the whole body. But then if you're not eating pro-inflammatory foods and beverages, alcohol, pro-inflammatory. Coffee, very pro-inflammatory. And think of hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, bagels, pizzas, chips, all pro-inflammatory. So are you a person that lives with the duality of cognitive disconnect when you take in something that's going to cause disease, but then take a vitamin thinking somehow you've ameliorated the toxic reactions? That doesn't work. Does not work. Just get to a place where you can just make positive choices all the time and watch inflammation go away. And with that, watch your body heal. We are 42 minutes into our program. By the way, that article was published in the Peer-Reviewed Journal of Brain. And also, cellular stress makes obese mothers have obese babies. French National Institutes of Health published in PLOS Biology. So one more reason why, if you're pregnant, do all that you can to maintain normal pregnancy weight, but not go into obesity, because you're more likely to have an obese child. And dietary anti-cancer compound can work by influencing cellular genetics, Oregon State University, published in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry. You've heard me mention many times a particular nutrient. It's found in cruciferous vegetables called sul, S-U-L, fora, F-O-R-A, phane, P-H-A-N-E, sulforaphane. You get it when you eat broccoli. And it's great at preventing prostate cancer. It works through its influence on long, non-coded RNAs. This is another step forward in compelling a new era of study on the underlying genetics of cancer development and progression, and published in the Peer-Reviewed Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry. So, what you eat definitely and directly affects your DNA. For those mothers who are fighting the baby blues, from the University of Toronto, tyrosine and tryptophan. Tyrosine, tyro, tyrosine, tryptophan, tryptophan, they help you fight what is called the baby blues. Blueberry juice also does that, helps mothers beat postnatal depression. Yeah, a glass of blueberry juice every day. And 1 in 10 women will be affected by postnatal depression within a year of giving birth. So this is important. And this came from scientists at Toronto Center for Addiction and Mental Health. Just something else to help people live a longer and better life. I'm Gary Nall. We are way into our program. We're 44 minutes in. One quick mention. Nearly 1,000 people have contacted Luann. I'm asking people, please don't contact Luann. She is fully engaged in helping administer the clinical study that starts in a few days. And a lot of people who initially signed into the stay-at-home group had no intention of doing it because half of them dropped out when they found they couldn't get the protocols sent to them in advance. And all they wanted is, okay, I'll get all the protocols sent, so I'll then choose what I want. No, this is a clinical study. And that's why no one has gotten the protocols, nor will anyone get the protocols until Saturday. Saturday, if you're in the study, you'll get all your protocols. Because it's also a study, meaning I can't have people taking the protocols before they've had their blood work up. It would bias the study. It would invalidate it. So you can't do that. The study starts the day after blood chemistries are drawn. Some people, it'll be Monday. Other people might be a week from them because not everybody will be able to get their blood work up, not at this time. I'm suggesting also for those of you who feel, what can I do? You know, I'm stuck on Staten Island and there, you know, we know the, how regressive that is when it comes to everything involving health. After all, it's a toxic dump site. Well, why not do this? I said this last night. Why not simply rent a car? You can rent a car very cheaply. And call ahead to health food stores and say, do you have X, Y, and Z? Whatever you're looking for, produce, grains. And then if they say, yeah, we've got them, then see all the other places you want to go, rent the car, go there, wear a mask, spray colloidal silver on the outside and inside of the mask, take whatever other precautions, wear gloves, definitely the gloves, and that way you're not going to contaminate yourself from other people. And if you do any environment where you're out and around, take your shoes off when you go in your house or apartment. So this way you make your stop, you get everything you need, and you're good to go. Don't just flail your arms in the air like you're helpless. And you know what? I don't have time to take feedback today on this, but I'd like you to call in. We have a number. Jesse, could you give me that number? I'm going to ask people to call in on this one and leave a message. Think on it before you do. Think well of what you would like to say about this. Here's my issue. Now, mind you, it may be just my own personal subjective opinion. That's what I'd like to hear from you. But what I have found over the last 10 years is that more and more senior citizens are acting helpless, are not looking to be responsible for themselves, either in what they're doing or in helping themselves if they want to change what they're doing. The vast majority expect someone to be enabling. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? What's this? When a lot of the questions that are asked are just simply common sense and self-evident. It's like walking to the door and saying, oh my God, I'm locked in. Open the door. Can you do it? I can, but what happens when I'm not here and you're once again in the house and you don't think you can open a door and walk outside? I'm seeing a lack of what my grandparents and my parents and aunts and uncles had in abundance, common sense, a reason mind, self-sufficiency, hobbies, positive mindset, proactive, and they actually got wiser and were were phenomenally interested in life. They just didn't wait to die. I believe that we are inverting our culture into the older you get, the more of a victim you are, if nothing else, of your own hubris or indifference or apathy. That's what I'm saying. Now, there are exceptions. But you work with a group of senior citizens in an anti-aging group, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it is extreme. And yet I remember when I started my radio career, and I did a workshop on cooking classes for a weekend. I could hold 50 people upstate. Thousands of you were up there over the years. 49 guys and one woman. We had a great time. We went out for runs in the morning and did yoga. And throughout the day, I'd show them how to bake and make dishes. And we'd set, and everybody just went crazy. And we had like four gigantic custom-made picnic tables filled with food. And if these people were engaged, I used to remember at Homowack, at the Grossinger's for 15 years, every year we do our whole week retreat up there after they closed the Concord. People were engaged. Even older people were engaged. They were some of the most engaged. Even our running walking club. We had a huge number of young people come, but then they'd drop out when they said that they actually had to train. And older people would come, and they were the highest finishers. They were right in there. They would finish the race. I'm not saying that today. I'm seeing people act as if somehow life dealt them the wrong hand at some point, whether it was a relationship or job or health, not willing to take responsibility for major changes. And as I said to someone, you spent your whole life abusing your body, your whole life. You're lucky to be alive. And suddenly after 2 weeks, you want to see a miracle. You want to see it all change. And yet you've taken no responsibility for any of that. You're asking for other people to come in and save you. Well, what happens when those people are not there? Have you learned a lesson? Because when I was growing up, you were expected to learn lessons. You were expected to become aware of cause and effect. You knew that for every action there would be an equal reaction. So you thought for a moment before you did or said something, what is the likely outcome of what I'm going to do? And if it wasn't a good outcome, you didn't do it. Or if you did, you paid a price. Nobody could, not do their homework or not learn and expect to graduate with everyone else to the next class. You were held back. You got summer school. There were people there to help you. And we knew these people. And we didn't want to see them held back. We wanted to see them go forward. We were empathetic with them, so we'd go over to their house. One of my friends, not a terribly bright person. None of us are very bright. I include myself in there. But at least we wanted to learn. And thank goodness that we had loving teachers who knew all about us. A small town, everybody knows everything about you. There are no secrets. And Mrs. Hendricks was the one that was so good to everyone. Huge woman, not overweight, just like 6'3", I think. And when you're in, junior high school, that kind of person looks huge to you. But I go over to her house and knock on her door, and she, yeah, Gary. I said, I have a question. She said, well, sit down. And whatever it took to explain that, you can't have that today. You don't have it today. There are good teachers today, but the system, the overwhelming amount of administrators who have controlled the system because of profiteering and exploitation, the entire educational system is corrupt. The curriculum is corrupt. Do you know that one of the biggest publishers in America got a huge grant from the government? I think it was something around $600 million. Okay. Who do you think got the biggest advance of a book in history? Barack Obama. Was it $60 million? From the same publisher. Who do you think was behind the Netflix deal of the Obamas, who've never done a film, and yet suddenly they get more than Academy Award-winning, outstanding directors? Obamas. Do you realize these are not legitimate? this is what happens when you protect those in power. So what happens when a teacher says this curriculum is wrong? This is a propagandizing curriculum. We're conditioning our children. We're not exciting their imagination and allowing them the chance for critical thinking. This is all teach to the test. And the people that sell the tests and promote the tests, the administrators, the profiteers, the equity partners, the hedge funds, everybody and their mother is making money off your child's dumbing down process. So the courageous teacher stands up is the one that's going to get Chapter 9, or put into a rubber room, or given no power at all. So that's what happens when we forget about the importance of being responsible for ourselves, because there was a time when I remember when you could talk with your teacher cared about you, not just whether or not you passed a test and cheating to get everyone through it. There was no cheating like that. There'd be individuals, I'm sure, that cheated, but there was no mass cheating. You couldn't be rich and come in and buy your kid into a college or buy your kid into a higher SAT score. You couldn't do that. Today, it's epidemic. And the cesspool of the world, the entire world, is the New York educational system. It is corrupt at every level. It should be completely everyone fired and start over and do it right. Go back 50 years and use that model and get some people with integrity. Right now, it's a cesspool. And we all know it. So here's my question. Go back to what I originally said. What has happened, if you believe something has happened, to growing older in our senior citizens and how everything's changed? How everything has changed. I'd like your opinion. And here's the number that you're going to call into. This is our voicemail line. I'd like to hear from you. And I'll take this on our next program. Call 862-800-6805. Again, specifically, call this number if you have insights on what you believe is happening to our senior citizen generation, where they're becoming invisible. Their essential needs are not being met, nor are they joining together. If all the senior citizens joined together and went to Washington, D.C., they would have power to make change, but they're not. For all the reasons you and I are aware of, I want to hear your reasons. Do you remember what senior citizens were like when you were growing up? Do you remember how important they were to your character development? Morals, manners, etiquette, social responsibility, civic duty? Where's that today? You will find it in selective individuals, but they are probably no more than 3%. Call with your ideas. I'd like to have it on TalkBack on our next show. 862-800-6805. 862-800-6805. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for taking your time to listen. Didn't get to the other audios. We will next week. Have a nice day, everyone.
Try to do.